Well, today we get a glimpse into a time in Iran that was shielded from the outside world because the government would not allow Western journalists into the country. In the new book, Death to the Dictator, an anonymous Iranian author recalls being held in detention after the bloody protests that followed last summer's presidential election there. To protect the author from further persecution by the Iranian government, the book is written under a pseudonym, Afsaneh Mokaddam, a female name. To talk about the book, we're joined now by Roger Cohen, a columnist for our partner, The New York Times and the International Herald Tribune, and also Azadeh Mouveni, who wrote the review of the book in The New York Times Book Review. Both guests believe the story is true, and they're here to tell us more. Roger Cohen, welcome.
Thank you, Todd.
Welcome, Azadeh.
Thank you.
Roger, this book follows the story of an anonymous Iranian author recalling horrific abuse after he was arrested for casting his vote for the opposition leader, Mir Hussein Mousavi, and protesting in the streets of Tehran. Now, let's look at this from the perspective of journalism for a moment, because this is a work of journalism, but by an anonymous author. You know the author, and you've established these claims that are in the book?
Yes, I know the author, and the author is a very good and journalist and excellent writer. And yes, I'm convinced that all that's related in the book is accurate, not only because I know this person, but also because I lived some of those days in Tehran, and I saw the violent, raging state into which the Islamic Republic veered, alas, in the immediate aftermath of the tumultuous June 12 election.
Has there been any amount of fact-checking that you've been able to do, or are you taking on faith even though you know this person?
There's really no... The most incendiary and devastating event in the book is and but there are many, is the rape of this young student aged 25. I should clear up one thing here.
Yes.
The person who writes the book is relating the experience of a young student in his 20s, I think a very typical case, not particularly political, got very involved suddenly in the campaign of the opposition leader, Mir Hussein Mousavi, suddenly found himself politicized, and then in the aftermath of the election gets arrested on the street and thrown into what becomes a labyrinth of prisons and detention centers. And this experience culminates with his rape, by repeated rape by his captors.
Right.
There is no way that I can... I'm not allowed back into Iran at this point, like 99.9% of Western reporters, that I can actually verify that particular event. It's not the first time I've heard about it. I believe it happened not on a vast scale, not to thousands of prisoners, but perhaps to hundreds. And as I said, I know well the author, and I know the research that the author has put into this, the interviews not only with this student, but many of students' family, friends, people around him. And as I said, I believe that this powerful book is an authentic reflection of actual events.
Azadeh Mouveni, you don't know the author, but you think this is an important document that will help Westerners or anybody else understand what's really going on in Iran. Apart from the horrific descriptions of the rape that Roger just described, what else about this book is particularly important, do you think, for a Western audience?
I think one of the most important things that it conveys is how the broad sort of majority of Iranians who may have been apolitical or apathetic in the days before the election, as Roger said, how they became very quickly politicized and how really opposition became a very mainstream sentiment. It wasn't just a clique of affluent Iranians in North Tehran or big cities, but that very, very ordinary young people, this young man's mother goes out into the streets and demonstrates. This book is one that really conveys how Iranian society was gripped by this post-election unrest, and how Iran is a very altered place, even if we don't see street demonstrations going on anymore, and it seems as though the spirit of dissent has gone quiet. It's still very much an altered country. It's a generation of young men like this who've seen their dreams for the future completely shattered.
And Azadeh, you're joining us from Cambridge, England. In reading this book, I was struck. On the one hand, it's a piece of journalism, and yet it reads, the narrative, of course, reads like a novel. It's storytelling, but it's also in the third person. The author describes events, as Roger said, happening to another person, and it really reads like a novel. As you reviewed this book as a piece of journalism, did it concern you at all that it reads like fiction?
I thought that was actually one of the great strengths of this book. I think it's what makes it so incredibly moving. It gave me nightmares for nights after I read it. And it reminded me of Kapuscinski's account of Iran in the early days of the revolution. It's very clear writing. It's very powerful and evocative. And I think the vignettes and the anecdotes, the way that they're recounted, I think that kind of style was almost necessary to convey the emotional intensity and the chaos and the sort of tragedy, the sense of tragedy that Iranians were experiencing. So I think that that's the strength, and I think it's what's going to make this book such a classic. I think in 20 years from now, people will be reading this book to try and understand what kind of significance this summer of 2009 had for Iran after the revolution.
Again, we're talking about the book Death to the Dictator, where an anonymous author recounts devastating experiences at the hands of the Iranian government after elections in 2009 and the protests that followed. Roger Cohen, I know I'm pressing you a little bit. We have to keep the identity of the author a secret. Is there anything else you can tell us about this person that helps us understand the experience better? Is this person still in Iran?
Well,
is it a man or a woman?
I don't want to say even that, but because it's not just a whim of, or caprice of mine not to want to say that, but I have seen more or less everybody I knew who was in any way linked to Mousavi, or certainly who formed the intellectual framework, let's say, of his campaign, has been thrown into prison in the aftermath of the election. It has been an extremely savage kind of, and I say that with deep regret because I love Iran. I came to love Iran, and I think many people had very high hopes before June 12 last year. That combined with President Obama's outreach. What I can say is that this author, and this goes to what you said about fiction, it is in fact, as Azadeh's allusion to Kapuscinski suggested, it is in fact great reportage, which is a particular genre. This author combines intimate knowledge gained over many years of Iran, a journalist's ability to pursue, track down, and report a story, and this is the crucial element, unusual gifts as a writer.
The book is Death to the Dictator by Afsaneh Mokaddam, which is a pseudonym. Roger Cohen, columnist for our partner, the New York Times and the International Herald Tribune, and Azadeh Movini joined us. She's author of the memoir Honeymoon in Tehran. She wrote the New York Times book review on Death to a Dictator, and you can read it on the New York Times. Thank you both for joining us.
More stories from this morning are at our website, thetakeaway.org, and there's also a special way that you can weigh in on the show by texting to us. Sign up for our texting service. Every afternoon, we will tell you about the next day's show. We'll give you a chance to weigh in early. Just send the word START to 69866. So START, that's 69866. You could be charged for that unless you have an unlimited texting plan like me, but
normal
that's
rates
still getting
apply.
Charged. Yeah, right. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.